الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, His companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers, we had discussed in the book of Al-Aqidat Al-Wasitiyya li Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, we were dealing with the explanation of Surat Al-Ikhlas, and the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he elaborated extensively about the meanings of some of the terminologies, particularly the one that he dealt with is the word Samad. And we said that Samad has a number of meanings in the Arabic language, and that we were able to come up with a conclusive summary or a definition that summarizes all of the meanings. Can anyone help us with that? Give us a definition. Doesn't have to be word for word, but يعني an encompassing definition for the word Samad according to the Shaykh.
Self-sufficient.
Okay.
And everyone is in need of him.
Aywa.
Everyone depend on him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't depend anybody.
MashaAllah. And perfection of attributes.
Yes.
That you know, all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are perfect. And you know, all of the creation are not perfect. They're deficient. And all of them are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we dealt with the idea of لم يلد ولم يولد. And we said that most of the people have claimed what? That Allah has a father, or does Allah have a son? Most of the people said Allah has a son. That's why the surah begins with refuting that. لم يلد ولم يولد. So the first, Allah dealt with the one that is most common. Who are among the nations, who are among the disbelievers, who are they who claim that Allah has a son?
Christians.
Who else?
Jews.
Who else?
Or
idolaters. Right. Actually, if you could, instead of using the word يعني, they just say that Allah has begotten, not necessarily a child as a boy. But the Qurayshis and their likes used to say that the angels are the daughters of Allah.
Angels are daughters.
Daughters of Allah. And this, if you read the Quran, in many occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted that. And the reason why they were reprimanded for that is that whenever one of them would get a girl, he would bury her alive, because the girl was disgrace to them. So they refused to have girls, but then they would attribute them to Allah. So if you read Surah As-Saffat, towards the end of the surah, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this particular issue. أن أصطفى البنات على البنين ما لكم كيف تحكمون. Did he choose girls over boys? What is the matter with you? How do you judge? Because you don't accept that for you. So the thing that is not even fitting for them, but they give it to Allah. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take either male or female, but it was very common that the Qurayshis and their likes, the polytheists, they used to attribute that they claim that the angels are the daughters of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is again among the claims that Allah has begotten one way or another, whether it's a boy or a girl and the likes. So all of these are actually false claims that anyone who believes in Allah in the last day and is a Muslim cannot possibly entertain these ideologies in any way, shape or form, because they negate the very essence of our belief in Allah. I mean, the thing that makes a Muslim distinct from every other human being on earth is our understanding of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That's it. Everything else is a byproduct of this understanding. Because you understand that, then you do the Salah and the Zakah and the Sawm and what have you, and you believe in the last day and the angels and the messengers. because of the essence of the whole thing is belief in Allah. So when that foundation is corrupt, then the acts of worship will likewise be corrupt. That's why whether a person who is a non-Muslim, if they don't know who their God is properly, then it is impossible for them to be rewarded by Allah on the Day of Judgment. Because they were not even dedicating these acts of worship to the one who deserves them. They were giving it to someone else. So how are they going to come and ask for? It's just like, you know, you get hired by a company, and you know, you go work for another company, and you never show up to your work. Then you come, they give me my salary. Say, you never showed up to work. I mean, you're working for these people, go ask your money from them. As far as we are concerned, you know, we didn't see anything from you. We didn't see you here. And any logical person will not say anything else. They will not say, you're right, man, you should have showed up to this job to get paid from this job. So this believers want the reward from Allah on the Day of Judgment. But in this dunya, they don't bother to even find out who they are supposed to worship. Rather, anything that they read in a book, or someone tells them, okay, no problem. God is a statue? Oh, okay. So they go worship a statue. Yet Allah gave them a mind that directs them towards the truth, where you cannot possibly accept the idea that a statue, and as crazy as this sounds, as common as it is, the Hindus worshiping cows. What? How? I mean, if you really take just a few seconds to pause and ponder upon this, how in the world did you reach a point where you believe that a cow, a helpless animal that eats grass and produces milk and does it on itself, defecates while walking, you know, used to plow the ground for a harvest and for vegetation, is a god or has any special divine attribute? How is it that the human being will reach this particular point? And I remember regarding this issue, I'm going off the subject for a little bit as usual, there's an incident where I believe I've seen this on CNN on the internet. Some Hindus in Britain, some British Hindus, yani some of the native British people along with Hindus from other nationalities, they had a cow which they were worshipping, and somehow it reached the government, the news that this cow has a disease. It has a disease. So they decided that this cow must be terminated. It must be killed. Otherwise it's going to cause, it's spread, you know, it's disease and, you know, contagious. It's contagious to other cows and maybe other human beings. So then the police decided that, you know, today is the day, and they've notified the people that we're going to come and take away this cow. So the people gathered on that day, and they started worshipping extensively. Worshipping with crying. You see them crying, all of them, hundreds of people, you know, trying to worship the cow. It's goodbye, basically, worship goodbye before it is taken away, you know. And then the police came and they started fighting with the police and trying to prevent the police from entering, you know. The police came and grabbed the cow and it just said, "Meh," you know, what is a cow? And they grabbed the cow and they took it out, and the people sitting there crying, and you just sit there and think, "La ilaha illallah." Yes, yeah, Sheikh, if this was a god, would it get a disease? If this was your God that you're asking to help you or benefit you, would it have a problem itself? A disease comes to it and it cannot do anything? Furthermore, if it was a God cow, when the police came, she should have done something. Say, "Hey, back off. I'm a God cow. Huh? I would punch you, you're dead. I could take away your life. I could give you life." What is this helpless cow? They took it out and maybe they slaughtered the next day. And these people are grieving over their dead God. And these are, maybe they are doctors, maybe they are physicians, maybe these are educated people from the society, not, you know, the average Tom, Dick and Harry, as they say. Yeah. But they have reached this. But subhanAllah, Allah described this in the most clear way in the Quran. In Surah Al-Furqan, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. And they have taken besides them, Allah, gods that create nothing, but themselves are created. It's a cow. Look at the description. It's a created being. And they do not possess for themselves any harm or benefit. A disease came to the cow, it must be killed. So how is it going to give it to you If it cannot, and the Quran, this is the eloquence of the Quran. If it does not possess for itself harm or benefit, how is it going to give it to you? Because they say the one who doesn't possess something cannot give it, and they do not possess mawtan, no death, wala hayatan, no life, wala nushura, no resurrection. This is the quality of every false god that the people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah for Islam, that this is what makes us distinct. That these people, the Hindus, may worship this cow for hours, maybe 23 hours out of 24 hours of the day. They may pay all of their money. They may exert themselves, they may sacrifice their lives for this, and on the day of judgment they will get nothing but punishment for this very act of worship, because their understanding of who Allah is was absent, and they have taken other gods besides Allah. So obviously this shows you the importance of the aqidah of the Muslim. This is not just an average thing. Well, okay, ma'alish akhi, don't deal with aqidah, but at least I'm doing this. No, this is the most important thing, because this is the foundation in which you build and construct your deeds upon. This is the foundation where you put deeds. If your foundation is gone, your deeds are going to fall right down in the hole. There's going to be nothing. Tayyip. So this is the examination. Your brothers passed, mashallah. We'll see how you do next week, inshallah. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, بنو آدم قد يتخذ الإنسان منهم ولدا وهو لم يلده بالتبني أو بالولاية أو بغير ذلك. For the children of Adam, one may take a son even if he did not beget him, like adoption, right? Or by just being, you know, putting him under his name, or taking care of him and saying that this is my son, whatever, without even adoption, or any other form. وإذا كان وإن كان التبني غير مشروع, even if adoption is not permissible in Islam, as we dealt last time. And regarding the issue of naming the wife, I sent him a fatwa, more than one fatwa. Maybe inshallah he will share it with you inshallah, or I'll give it to you later. أما الله عز وجل فلم يلد ولم يولد. عليكم السلام أهلا. As for Allah سبحانه وتعالى, He did not beget, nor was He begotten. ولما كان يلد على ذهن فرض أن يكون الشيء لا والدا ولا مولودا لكنه متولد. When it is possible, it may strike the mind that okay, something may not be begotten, it may not beget or may not be gotten, but it may be a result of some other thing. It may, there may be this similarity to that thing through other means of delivery. Yani you may have means to get something identical to the essence, not necessarily by reproduction. It may be by other means, because this may come to the mind. نَفَى هَذَا الْوَهْمِ الَّذِي قَدْ يَرِدْ. Allah negated that thought that may come into mind by saying وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And he has none equal to him or similar to him. وَإِذَا انْتَفَى أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ لَزِمَ أَلَّا يَكُونَ مُتَوَلِّدًا. So if this is understood, that there's no way, that there's nothing similar to Allah, then the concept of anything being equal to Allah, whether through begetting or otherwise, has been removed. So no, we no longer confined with this the concept of father, mother and a child. There may be other means of having a child, such as adoption or anything else. Any other possibility that may cross the mind has been rejected by Allah when He said وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is not equal to Him, so forget about the whole thing. Forget about the whole thing. وَأَيْ لَا يُكَافِئُهُ أَحَدٌ فِي جَمِيعِ صِفَاتِ. Meaning there is none who is similar to Allah in all of His attributes. None similar to Allah عز وجل in all of His attributes. في هذه السورة, in this particular chapter, صفات ثبوتية وصفات سلبية. There are affirmative attributes and negating attributes. Affirmative, affirming and negating. As for the thubutiyya, the affirming attributes, then we have the lafdul jalala, Allah, التي تتضمن الألوهية, the one that contains the right of being worshipped. The uluhiyya, the one is who is worshipped, which is the word Allah. You get that meaning from the word Allah عز وجل. أحد تتضمن الأحدية. أحد includes the uniqueness and oneness, right? الصمد تتضمن الصمدية, and صمد contains صمدية, which we said is the perfection of attributes, the need of the creation, deficiency of the creation, and the need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah being self-sufficient and in need of no one and nothing. والصفات السلبية, these are the attributes, affirming attributes. The negating attributes, لم يلد ولم يولد. He did not beget, nor was he begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدًا And there's none equal to him. These are the negating. Remember, we learned this in the beginning. Either Allah will affirm an attribute, اللَّهُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ Affirming. لَمْ يَلِدْ He did not beget. One affirms, one negates. Both of them in the context of describing Allah are perfection. The negation is used to show perfection. Because usually that which is negated is deficiency. So when Allah negates the deficiency, you're automatically affirming the perfection. طيب. ثَلَاثُ إِثْبَاتِ ثَلَاثُ إِثْبَاتِ So there are three qualities that are affirming. وَثَلَاثُ نَفِي
Answer.
Allah musta'an. وثلاث نفي and three negating وهذا النفي يتضمن من الإثبات كمال الأحدية والصمدية and this negation includes the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness and his uniqueness and his oneness and الصمدية is absolute quality طيب this is the end of Surah Al-Ikhlas Now we go to the greatest ayah in the Quran. Ayatul Kursi. Ayat Kursi, we will see the evidence for that. قوله وما وصف به نفسه في أعظم آية في كتاب الله. This is the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله and what Allah described himself with in the greatest ayah in the book of Allah. حيث يقول where Allah says عز وجل الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم Allah, there is no God worthy of worship but He the ever living the sustainer of existence the ever living الحي القيوم the sustainer of existence put on vibrate barakallah feek the ever living the sustainer of existence لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم no drowsiness overtakes him nor sleep Sometimes they say slumberness, whatever. Slumber or drowsiness, both are valid. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Who is he who intercedes with him except with his permission? No one. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ He knows that which is between their hands and that which is behind them. The scholars say that means he knows that which will happen in the future and that which has happened in the past. Or they say the meaning can also be reversed. What is between the hands, meaning what has already passed. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ is that which will happen afterwards. Either way, the meaning is the same. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَشَاءَ They encompass nothing of his knowledge except with his will. يعني you don't know anything about Allah unless Allah allows you to know about it. We do not have the means to encompass the knowledge unless Allah gives us by His will some of that knowledge. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ His kursi, it could be described as the chair and it could be described, the literal meaning is chair, kursi. And the legal meaning is the footstool. The footstool. This is based on the interpretation of the hadith. We will deal with that inshallah at the right time. Extends over the heavens and the earth. The kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. And maintaining them does not tire him. Maintaining them tires him not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ And He is the Most High, the Great. This is more or less one of the ways you could explain or translate the definition or the meaning or the interpretation of this particular ayah. You may read other tafaseer which may give you other wording. Whatever you read, do not you read Yusuf Ali. Leave that alone. Leave him alone and his tafsir alone and his book alone and everything that he did alone. Even the name of the book is wrong. There's no such thing, and I've dealt this before, I know this is shocking to most of the brothers. There's no such thing as the Holy Quran. No Holy Quran. No Holy Quran. You say, what, brother? Come on, man. But, you know, Sheikh Ahmed did that. But, you know, brother Zakir Naik. Barakallah fi Ahmed did that. Rahimahullah, Zakir Naik. No biggie. These are our brothers. We love them for the sake of Allah. They've done so much for Islam. We can maybe never reach their point or their status. Nonetheless, we're dealing with the deen of Allah. And we have to go straight. Cannot go with people. There's no... But when you say the holy, the word holy... In Arabic means Muqaddas. Muqaddas. Because the Christians call the Holy Bible in the Arabic Al-Kitab Al-Muqaddas. Al-Kitab Al-Muqaddas. The Holy Bible. Now you've read the whole Quran probably at least once in your life. Did you ever come across this word in the Quran or in the Sunnah? Al-Kitab Al-Muqaddas for the Quran? No. Never. There's بل هو قرآن مجيد قرآن كريم. Huh. And many other attributes given to the Quran, none of them is al-muqaddas. Rather, this is a Christian term that the Muslims, when they try to oppose them, adopted from them. Say, okay, you have a holy Bible, we have a holy Quran. But in reality, this should not be used. Because if you make it a fixed name, the book is holy. Because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's preserved. So it may be correct, but we don't want to give it that title. Because Allah Azza wa Jal did not give it that title. And if that name was beloved to Allah, it would have been mentioned at least once in the Quran. That the Quran is holy, Muqaddas. So that wasn't used. So my advice to you is avoid it. You say the glorious Quran or the noble Quran. The glorious Al-Majid. Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the noble Quran. And that is the befitting translation for that. So in the Yusuf Ali, even the title, the Holy Quran, is already a problematic. Then you go into his understanding of the deen, it's more problematic. So you wind up with a aqidah different than the one we're teaching. Because he has some issues with his aqidah. Allah al-musta'an. But you know, we must warn. I'm not trying to, you know, take advantage of my position to speak against him, but believe me, anyone... Even people who usually never speak about anyone, when it comes to this issue, they must warn the brothers about this particular version of the translation of the Quran, the Holy Quran by Yusuf Ali. Is not acceptable. It is not acceptable, should not be used as a reference. Many different reasons why. We will not elaborate on them, but you go to some websites and they have all the reasons why. Yani there are issues with his understanding of the deen.
So it's very famous.
That doesn't mean anything. Famous is Allah musta'an. That if you want to understand the book of Allah properly, then you need to refer to the trustworthy sources where not just the English is nice and eloquent, the understanding, because it's aqidah here. You know, when you explain a verse and your aqidah is different than Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, then obviously the reader is going to take whatever you do. So if you're giving them the wrong information and he has no other resource, he's going to leave this place with the understanding that you have in the book. And so this is a very dangerous situation. Yani. Hey, yani even Yusuf Istis, you know, he would make fun of that publicly. You would not, you know, I've heard them with my own ears. He would say, warn the brothers, no Yusuf Ali, man. He uses it as a joke, actually, the book of Yusuf Ali. To that extent, well, you know, maybe you think Yusuf Istis would not do that. But I've heard him in more than one occasion. And maybe he even has an article on his website about this. So this is a serious issue. Get a copy of Yusuf Ali, you know, throw that out the window or burn it because it has the Quran, the Arabic Quran. If you have the English, just don't use it. If it's the Arabic one, burn that thing or get rid of it in some one way or another so nobody will use it in the future. It's that serious, the issue. Al-Muhim, we don't want to elaborate on that too much. This was Ayatul Kursi. And this was one of the wordings of the English when we try to interpret that particular ayah. The Shaykh will begin his explanation, rahmatullahi alayhi, قَوْلُهُ وَمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي أَعْظَمِ آيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Whatever Allah described Himself with and the greatest ayah. We said ayah is what? What are the different definitions of the word ayah, ya akhwan?
Verse.
Okay. That's it?
Sign.
Could be also a miracle. Miracle, mu'jiza, ayah. Hey, this is an ayah from Allah, that this is a sign for you, this is a miracle from Allah. So it's whether it is a sign or a verse, depending on the context. Depending on the context, you will know the meaning of that particular word. Here, obviously, we're speaking about the verse. The verse. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ تُسَمَّى آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي. The Shaykh said, this ayah, this verse is called the verse of Al-Kursi. Why? Because the Kursi was mentioned. لِأَنَّ فِيهَا ذِكْرُ الْكُرْسِي. Because in it, the Kursi was mentioned. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His chair or footstool encompasses the heavens, extends over the heavens and the earth. وهي أعظم آية في كتاب الله. It is the greatest ayah في كتاب الله. والدليل, and this is why, this is what we need in our Islamic life. طيب يا أخي, you come and tell me that the ayat al-kursi is the greatest chapter and the greatest ayah in the Quran. Who told you that? I want a dalil. I don't want your opinion about this. Obviously you must have evidence. There is an evidence. والدليل على ذلك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل أبي بن كعب. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Ubay ibn Ka'b. قال أي آية في كتاب الله أعظم. What verse in the book of Allah is the greatest? يعني straight answer, straight question, straight to the point. فقال له Ubay ibn Ka'b, said to him, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. He gave him the first, the beginning of Zid. فضرب على صدره, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم struck his chest to Ubay ibn Ka'b. فقال ليهنك العلم أبا المنذر. Congratulations for this knowledge, O father of Munzir. يعني Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم patted him on his chest. يعني may Allah, يعني he was happy. And this showed you the understanding of the Sahabi رضي الله عنه وارضاه. Because maybe if you read the whole Quran by yourself many times, you would have not known that if somebody asked you which is the, you would not know that this is the greatest ayah. So notice now, his knowledge was in accordance to the truth. Subhanallah. يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقره بأن هذه أعظم آية في كتاب الله وأن هذا دليل على علم أبي في كتاب الله عز وجل. طيب, here let me just go off subject a little bit. We know that the sunnah, we get it from one of three ways. Who can enumerate them? The sunnah of the Prophet is either something
by
action,
action
by his
saying,
aywa, statement,
otherwise he did not prevent him to go so.
We call it acknowledgement. Acknowledgement, to acknowledge, yani something happens and you approve of it. It's almost like an approval, silent, yeah. Approval. Here, which one do we have?
The acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement. Because he acknowledged it. It wasn't the other way around. If the Prophet ﷺ came and said to us, the greatest ayah in the Quran is ayat al-kursi, then this will become sunnah qawliyah. This is a statement, a saying of the Prophet ﷺ. Here it's an event where he asked the companion answered him, and he acknowledged that knowledge, then this becomes the sunnah. Even the Prophet ﷺ never said that sentence with his own words. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it is through actions. When the Prophet ﷺ was given the last khutbah in the day of Arafah, he was addressing, they say, over 100,000 companions. He stood there and he told them, Ala hal ballaght? Have I not conveyed? They said, yes. He said, Allahumma shahad. Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, bear witness. Here you have a sunnah and evidence for the belief of Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah that Allah Azza wa Jal is above the creation. Because of the action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his pointing of the finger to the heavens is a dalil. Otherwise you could have said Allahumma shahad if Allah was everywhere as they claim. He wouldn't be pointing to the heavens, obviously. And قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبُ وَجْهُكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking to turn the Qibla towards Al-Kaaba, he kept looking to the heavens, waiting for the revelation to turn towards Kaaba when they were going to Bayt al-Maqdis. These are all actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam which confirm what we believe. Or it could be a statement. When he asked the slave girl, where's Allah? She said, fi sama, in the heavens. And in means above the heavens. Because in the fi sama meaning, yani sama is anything that is above you. So fi sama meaning in height, up. You see, it doesn't mean that, as some people may misunderstand, in the heaven, where the heaven encompasses him عز وجل. That's not what is intended. في السماء يعني في اتجاه العلو, meaning towards up, you see, which is Allah above everything, and everything is below Allah عز وجل. So this was this is in Sahih Muslim. He said, "Who am I?" He said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." He told Muawiyah رضي الله عنه. He said, "Let her go. She's a believer. She's a believer." Right there. So here another acknowledgement. Ayn Allah, she gave him an answer. He said later on, she's a believer. That's basically, if she was wrong, do you think he was going to leave her alone? He would tell her, My daughter, this is incorrect. Allah Azza wa Jal is such and such. And he has done this, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because scholars say that Allah, his job is to deliver. So he cannot delay the information, because we will receive this information. So you know, it's all relevant to the preservation of the deen for us. So alhamdulillah for making the deen so clear for those who seek knowledge. Tayyib. And there's another evidence, is that the knowledge of Ubay ibn Ka'b.
It doesn't
mention here. But I could easily look that up for you, inshallah. Remind me to give it to you next week. You can...
You asked about this lady that
the hadith of the lady, I believe it's a Sahih Muslim.
So that is, I think she can't talk. She said by sign or.
No, both. She spoke and she pointed with her finger. She did both, as far as I know. Yes. طيب, and this is an evidence about the knowledge of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu arda' in the Book of Allah. He was knowledgeable. About the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had knowledge of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there's another issue here. وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ يَتَفَاضَلْ. In this particular hadith, we have an evidence that the Qur'an has some, يعني is virtuous, more, some verses or chapters are more virtuous than others. There's certain virtue to some over others. كما دل عليه أيضا حديث سورة الإخلاص, as also the chapter of إخلاص indicated that he says equal to 1/3 of the Quran. وهذا موضع يجب فيه التفصيل. This is a matter which we need to further explain. What does that mean? Because some people may misunderstand and they say, okay, there are some parts of the book of Allah that's not important, huh? The only thing is important is this, the other one not, because they said this, so they ignore the rest. We cannot go to extremes. The Shaykh said it's time to further explain in detail. Alaykum salam. طيب. فَإِنَّنَا نَقُولُ. So we say, the Shaykh, this is Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. أَمَّا بِاعْتِبَارِ الْمُتَكَلِّمْ بِهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَتَفَاضَلْ. As for the speaker, the one who speaks, the one who spoke the Quran, which is Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no virtue of anything over anything else, because the speaker is one. The speaker is one. Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal, it is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the Exalted. وَأَمَّا بِاعْتِبَارِ مَدْلُولَاتِهِ وَمَوْضُوعَاتِهِ, as pertaining to the what the Quran may indicate or the subject matter which it deals with. فَإِنَّهُ يَتَفَاضَلْ. This is where some will be more virtuous than others. So as far as the Qur'an being the speech of Allah, then all of it is the same, because the speaker is one. Allah Azza wa Jal is the speaker of the whole Qur'an. So as in this context, there's no virtue over anything, because it's all from Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the speaker, the one. But in terms of the subject matter, the subject of the actual speech, this is where it may be, some may be more virtuous than others. فصورة الإخلاص التي فيها الثناء على الله عز وجل بما تضمنته من الأسماء والصفات ليست كسورة المسد. For instance, the Shaykh said, سورة الإخلاص, which contains praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the names and attributes that it contains about Allah, it is not the same as سورة المسد. What surah is سورة المسد? تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. Now both are the speech of Allah, but in terms of the subject matter, which is more virtuous? One is speaking about Allah and one is speaking about the enemy of Allah. So obviously There's a virtue of Surah Al-Ikhlas over Surah Al-Masad, right or wrong? That's what is intended. طيب, this is good. The Shaykh said, التي فيها بيان حال أبي لهب من حيث الموضوع, because Surah Al-Masad deals with the state, the condition of Abi Lahab in terms of what the subject matter of the surah is. كذلك يتفاضل من حيث التأثير والقوة في الأسلوب. Likewise, the Quran, some verses may be more virtuous than others in terms of the effect and the strength of the style, eloquence. Some are more eloquent than others. Some verses that you read, يعني really strike you. For example, in Surah Al-Rahman, yes, obviously, the, you know, فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. But in Surah well, you're not going to let me think of the Surah. Every time I think of the Surah, you're going to tell me another Surah. Alhamdulillah, anyways, the Surah which has وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. الذاريات. فورب السماء والأرض إنه لحق مثل ما أنكم تنطقون. Sometimes when you really read this verse and you pause a little bit, it shivers, it makes your body shiver. Allah swears by the Lord of the heaven and the earth, this is the truth, the same way that you speak. When you speak, you don't doubt whether you spoke or not. It's so, how positive are you about your speech upon speaking? Right now, can I doubt that I'm speaking? No, I know. 100% sure. Allah says, by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, this Quran is the truth. مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. The same way that you speak and you have no doubt whether you spoke or not, then the Quran is likewise the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or everything that Allah sent down. Or فَوَرَبِّ this in Surah Al-Dhariyat, I don't know the number of the ayah. Then there are other verses. فلا أقسم برب المشارق والمغارب إنا لقادرون على أن نبدل خيرا منهم وما نحن بمسبوقين. So Allah swears by the Lord of the Masharik, all of the East, والمغارب and all of the West, that this is that we are able to substitute these people with some that are better than them, and no one will be able to prevent Allah from that. And many verses that are like, you know, where Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by certain things, it's powerful. And in the eloquence, unlike other verses, still it's all the speech of Allah, but some are more effective, I mean they have more of an effect on a person than others, obviously. So this is another aspect of virtue, where some verses of the Quran may be virtuous, more virtuous than others. فَإِنَّ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ مَا تَجِدُهَا آيَةً قَصِيرَةً لَكِنْ فِيهَا رَدْعٌ قَوِيٌّ لِلْقَلْبِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ. So he says, sometimes some of the ayat you will find it's a very small ayah in the size, it's a short ayah, but it has in it يعني, from the things that contain admonition and preventing the people from deviance, يعني, you find an abundance of that. وَتَجِدُ آيَةً أُخْرَى أَطْوَلْ مِنْهَا بِكَثِيرٍ. And you find another ayah much longer than the previous one. مِنْهَا بِكَثِيرٍ لَكِنْ لَا تَشْمَلْ عَلَى مَا تَسْتَمِرُ عَلَيْهِ الْأُولَى. But it does not contain what the smaller ayah contains. فَمَثَلًا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. For example, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَاكْتُبُوهُ. All you who believe, if you take a loan and have debt with one another until a fixed time, write it down. This ayah is a whole page. Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 282, it's a whole page, but it's all about ruling. What happens if you take a debt, if you take a loan, write it down, the person who witnesses, the person who will come, and if he's needed to bear witness, he should do so, otherwise you have, you know, you're wicked in your hearts. And it goes and deals with the ruling of Dain. But, aywa, this is the biggest ayah in the Quran. طيب. The Shaykh said, إلى آخره, هذه آية موضوعها سهل. This ayah, the subject matter deals with is simple. It's simple. والبحث فيها في معاملات تجري بين الناس. And the discussion about it is the transactions that take place between the people. وليس فيها ذاك التأثير الذي يؤثره مثل قوله تعالى. And it does not have an effect the same way the statement of Allah عز وجل, كل نفس ذائقة الموت, every soul shall taste death. I mean, look at the difference. Just when you think about it, we dealt with this last week. That's a big deal, man. يعني me and you are going to die. يعني each one of us is going to go away. Do you know when? No. Very soon. This may be the last time you read this ayah. Right? It may be the last time you read it. So obviously, this is not Surah Ad-Dain. When you read Ayat Ad-Dain, it's not going to affect you like this ayah would affect you. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will only be paid your full recompense on the Day of Judgment. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So whoever is moved away from the fire and permitted to Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازْ, then he has attained success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this life of this world is nothing but false deception. It's just a deception, it's a trick, it's not real. This is Surah Al-Imran, verse 185. فهذه تحمل معاني عظيمة. This ayah contains يعني powerful meanings. This one small ayah فيها زجر, it has reprimanding, يعني stopping you from transgression. وموعظة, admonition. وترغيب, calling you to the goodness. وترهيب, warning you from evil. ليست كآية الدين, it's not like the ayah of the debt in Surah Al-Baqarah. مع أن آية الدين أطول منها, although the ayah dealing with debt is longer than it. قول المؤلف رحمه الله حيث يقول الله لا إله إلا هو. The same Rav Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, where he says Allah there is no God worthy worship but He. في هذه الآية يخبر الله بأنه منفرد بالألوهية. In this particular ayah, Allah سبحانه وتعالى tells us that He is the one who is exclusively worshipped, the one who is to be exclusively worshipped. None should be worshipped with Him. And this is the right, the translation of La ilaha illallah. You don't want to say La ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah. This is wrong. And it is refuted by the Quran. Because Allah affirmed and confirmed the existence of other gods. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا. They've taken besides them gods. Okay? And many other verses. Where Allah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Do not make with Allah, do not set up with Allah another God. So Allah confirmed the existence of God, but He told us in Surah Al-Hajj, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. This is because Allah is the true God, and all that they call besides Him is false. This meaning, these gods are gods in the context of the people. According to the people, they make them gods. But in reality, they do not have the attributes of God, so they are false gods. Anyways, but when you say there's no God but Allah, Allah said there's a God. And if you say that, then the Christian is a Muslim, the Christian becomes a believer, the Jew becomes a believer, the atheist, anyone becomes a believer. Because they may tell you, yes, Allah, like the Christians, God the Father to them, is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And He's the one who controls everything, but I worship such and such. So La ilaha illallah means there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. So this was Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, the oneness of Lordship, we share with the non-Muslims. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya is strictly for the Muslims, you understand? So Allah, there is no God worthy of worship but He. Not there is no God but He, because there are other gods. But none of them is worthy of worship. So that's the correct definition of that. Otherwise, anyone will say that I'm Muslim because I believe La ilaha illallah. I believe God is the only creator. But he still worships Mary, he worships Jesus, he worships the saint. No problem. As long as he confirms in his mind that God is the creator. That's not right.
Some people say that you cannot say God because the God, if you say God, then it's goddess. If you say God, then it's God.
No, but that's what ilah means. Allah means alif lam with ilah, the God. The God. Now that cannot be changed. Of course, we're using the English language, so you're not going to have the same virtue of the Arabic language. There's things in the English that you cannot avoid, obviously, which is the feminine aspect of God, goddess, or the plural gods. But when you say Allah is the God, and ilah means God.
It is alif lam, alif lam ha.
Alif lam ha is ilah. Alif lam alif ha, but the alif, the small alif, you don't see it, they don't write it. But it's alif lam alif ha, ilah. Alif hamza lam alif ha. Anyways, those who say you cannot use that, yani they have a valid point. But the deen of Islam is about also common sense. You're trying to speak to a non-Muslim who may not understand yani exactly, you haven't given him a lecture about Allah, the term. So you do whatever will deliver the message, which is in this case, saying God. That's what he relates to. Then when he becomes a Muslim, say, "Akhi," we use the word Allah, you know, because this is what he's mentioned in the Quran. But you don't make a big deal in the beginning, then you go to a non-Muslim, say, "Allah, Allah, Allah." Because many of them have a misconception, which is that Allah is only for you. It's a special God for Muslims, it's not for everybody else. So yani, you don't want to cause more problems by trying to avoid something that should not really be avoided in a sense. Wallahu a'lam. Anyways. Al-Muhim. وذلك من قوله الله لا إله إلا هو لأن هذه جملة تفيد الحصر. This particular sentence indicates exclusivity, as we mentioned before. الله لا إله إلا هو is an exclusive sentence. وطريقة النفي والإثبات هذه من أقوى صيغ الحصر. This in the language of the Arabic language, this style of negating and affirming is one of the strongest ways of exclusivity. الله لا إله إلا هو. This is one of the strongest way to affirm something, by negating anything first and then dropping the affirmation. This is the strongest way of making exclusivity. And as if they're saying, I am not going to go to any bookstore except Jarir. That's different than saying I'm going to Jarir. Huh? Because I may go to Jarir and a few other bookstores. So when I say I'm not going to go to any bookstore except Jarir, then I am exclusively distinguishing Jarir, and you will not think that I'm going to go to any other bookstore after I make this particular statement. You see that's what is intended by exclusivity. Hasr, which is Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, is another form. With this we will conclude inshallah. We will deal bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla next week with al-hayy, the definition of al-hayy and al-qayyum and the rest of the ayah. هذا والله تعالى أعلم وما كان من خطأ فمني ومن الشيطان والله بريء منه الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.